John chapter 18. The message today is our Savior's unalterable determination to drink the cup which the Father gave him. John chapter 18. The scene is Judas Iscariot coming with the enemies of the Lord to arrest him. And it says in verse 4, 18:4 of John's Gospel, Jesus therefore, knowing all things that were coming upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, who betrayed him, was standing with them. When therefore he said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Again therefore he asked them, Whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I told you that I am he. If therefore you seek me, let these go their way, that the word might be fulfilled which he spake. Of those whom thou hast given me, I lost not one. Simon Peter, therefore, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. Now the servant's name was Malchus. Jesus therefore said unto Peter, Put up the sword into the sheath. The cup which the Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? And Isaiah chapter 50, in brief, our Savior's acceptance of the cup was, the cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? In Isaiah 50, starting at verse 4, we get a detailed account of what was in that cup. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I might know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away backward. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting, for the Lord God will help me. Therefore have I not been confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Behold, they all shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, it is apparent to us that there was never a man like that man of whom we have read. There was that first man, Adam, and there was that last man, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are thankful, our God, we who have been born again, that having been once partakers of all connected with the first man, now, by faith, we have become connected with all that is associated with the second man. We have heard If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. We are thankful that this day our God has made such a thing possible. So by thy Spirit, speak to the hearts of all who are here. Some may not hear the truth often. Some may be resisting because of the power of Satan. So by thy Spirit, intervene and overcome and empower the lips of him who speaks. And we confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Last week, our Savior spoke of his disciples who had continued with him in his temptation, but we found that the continuance ended in this garden. The account that I read to you in John 18. The Savior, by speaking these words, began the fulfillment of what he promised and what the Father's will was for all of you who trust him as Savior. He said in John chapter 5, "This is the will of my Father, that of all who behold and believe the Son shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." And the Savior had prayed in John 17. He had told the Father, "Of all that thou hast given me, I have lost not one." None was lost. And what he had told the Father in John 17, he now actuates in John 18. When the enemies of Christ come, our Savior is concerned not about himself, but about his sheep. That is the difference between so many ministers who are in the world today. It says they make merchandise of men. It says in John chapter 10, they are hirelings. But the Lord Jesus Christ said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." He said, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again." And here the enemies of Christ come, that instead of being concerned about his own safety, he is concerned about the safety of that little band of 11 followers through whom the truth of God shall be spread to the uttermost parts of the earth. And the Lord Jesus preserves them then, and this is an encouragement to all of you who believe, the providence of God. He will preserve us physically until we carry out the mission that God has placed upon us. And he will keep us eternally. And the home in heaven that he prepared for us, he will come again and receive us to himself and take us to that home. And no one can pluck us out of the Savior's hand. But please note, last week I told you that our Savior, in fervent prayer unto blood, appealed to his Father. He said, "Father," he said, "if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." He said, "Father, all things are possible. Let this cup pass from me." He said, "Father, if thou be willing, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Notice, he appealed to his Father again and again and again that the cup be removed from him. But in the portion that I read to you in John chapter 18, listen to what he says about the cup this time. That cup that he had cried to his Father to remove from him. This prayer, during which he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. The Savior now says, when Peter would draw his sword and save the Savior from arrest and death, the Savior, speaking of that same cup, says this. He says, "Put the sword into its sheath. The cup which the Father hath given me shall I not drink it? Is this not remarkable? I have told you, and I shall tell you again, the transforming, empowering ability of prayer when a man goes into the presence of God, having known heretofore, heretofore, just what the Father's will was. You are knowing God's will, and it's becoming a part of you, and you are willingly entering into that will and doing God's will voluntarily. It's something that can only be accomplished by prayer, like unto our Saviors. You know that some of you do God's will, but you do it reluctantly. Think of Jonah. God said to Jonah, I want you to go and preach to Nineveh. I want that city converted. And Jonah resisted God to the point of death. But finally, after going through these circumstances, cast into the ocean, swallowed by the great fish, finally, in the belly of the fish, he cried unto God. And he said, salvation is of the Lord. And the fish vomited him up. And then he went to Nineveh, and he did God's will. And when he saw the result of doing God's will, he hated it. And there are some who do God's will, but it's not because they want to. It's not because their heart enters into that will, but it is because life is so miserable when you're on a boat and a storm arises, and when you are cast out of that boat and you are swallowed by a great fish. And so some of us do God's will because of the consequences if we do not do God's will. But in the case of our Savior, it was just the opposite. There was nothing outside that caused our Savior to do God's will. But in prayer, he who knew the responsibility that was his entered into God's will and embraced it and accepted it, and it became a part of him. And having in that garden ascertained experientially in his own soul the inevitability of drinking that cup, then when the chance came for the cup to be removed, the Savior had set his face like a flint. And he said to Peter, put that sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me to drink, shall I not drink it? Is that not a remarkable thing? This cup that was so dreadful in the garden, now there is nothing that will alter his determination to drink it. Why? Because he has put into motion the omniscience of God, the omnipotence of God, the love of God, and these having been exhausted to discover a way that that cup could be removed and mankind still be saved, our Savior is determined to drink that cup whatever the consequence. And this is the contradiction of everything that God stands for, because the Bible says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. And you and I reap sin, and we sow sin, and we reap judgment. But the Lord Jesus Christ reaped love, and righteousness, and goodness, that he, having sown those things, reaped God's wrath. That is the contradiction of all time. The one man who sowed good and reaped evil. But that is the gospel. Christ also at once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. That is the gospel. And the Lord Jesus Christ, in his prayer, having known it, entered into his soul, and so known and embraced was it, that nothing could have that cup taken from him. Understand this. And I laugh at those who speak about the unfortunate circumstances that fell upon our Savior. He was a good man, a fine teacher, but his nation crucified him. He was a victim of circumstances. In the first place, do you realize that when the enemies of Christ came to arrest him, simply his awesome presence, just his person speaking to them, drove them back and they fell to the ground. The Lord Jesus Christ at that moment could have walked unharmed through their midst, and not one of them would have dared lay a hand upon him. But the Lord Jesus Christ had to invite them to come and arrest him. A victim of circumstances, the Lord Jesus Christ must work things so that his enemies have courage to come and arrest him. And then at the same time, in the darkness, with Peter slicing with a sword, our Savior could have hidden himself among the shadows, among the trees, and escaped. The Savior says, that root shall not be taken by me. Put that sword into the sheath. And he said, the cup which the Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? He said, I want you to understand it now, Peter. In Matthew 16, Peter, for the first time, had felt to cause our Lord to forsake the suffering of Jerusalem. When the Savior said, I have to go to Jerusalem and be rejected of the elders and crucified, Peter said, Lord, be it far from thee. This shall never come unto thee. And the Lord Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. And now Peter, again, an instrument of Satan, would protect the Lord from going to the cross. And the Lord Jesus says, my portion is in the cup that the Father hath given me, and I am determined to drink it. And so that is the difference between us and our Savior. There has never been one man from the beginning of time who accepted the cup that the Father gave him to drink completely, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I told you about Demas. Demas hath forsaken thee, having loved this present world. There are always those who want to do the will of God, but the flesh is weak. But the Lord Jesus Christ was determined to do the will of God, and what strength he did not have, God sent an angel from heaven and strengthened him. And when this supernatural strength was imparted to him with all the strength that he had in his body, then the Lord Jesus Christ arose from his prayer, and he said, I am unalterably determined to drink this cup that the Father has given me. And Peter, with his sword, the Savior says to him, he says, do you not think that even now I can beseech my Father, and he shall give me more than 12 legions of angels? What is Peter's sword when God can send a vast army of angels from heaven to deliver him? But the Savior understood that if this happens, the scripture cannot be fulfilled, and you, sinner, cannot be saved. And this is what, again, is the contradiction. You read in the Psalms that in the hand of God there was a cup, and it speaks of its dregs, and it speaks of its wrath, and it says, the wicked shall drink the dregs and shall drain that cup. That I can understand. Yes, I believe in hell. It says, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. I can accept that. But the wrath in the cup that the Father had for the Son, that he should drink it, is something that is incomprehensible. And that is why the Savior was sweating, as it were, great drops of blood in the garden. It was not physical death. Why, some martyrs have gone to their death singing with boldness, but they never went to their death anticipating bearing sin in their own body. And that is the difference. The physical death, all of us want to avoid pain if we can. But for his God to forsake him, for his soul to be made an offering for sin, that is what caused our Savior to sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. But having learned experientially, entered into it by prayer, the Savior is determined to be made sin for you, that you might be made the righteousness of God in him. And so here is our Savior and his determination to do the Father's will. In Isaiah 50, one of the most blessed prophecies in the Old Testament, the Savior says that I set my face as a flint, and nothing shall deter him from carrying out the will of God. And if you want to know what is in that cup, you may read Isaiah 50, and you may read Isaiah 53, because both are there. The physical suffering as to the contents of that cup are found in Isaiah 50. He said, I gave my back unto the smiters, and my cheeks to them that pluck off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. This is the physical suffering that was contained in that cup. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, I did not hide from it. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I set my face as a flint to endure it. But those are only the physical sufferings. And you and I are not prepared to drink even that much of the cup of God's will for our lives. Not even the physical involvement of pain and suffering, rejection, the shame and the spitting. We are not prepared to drink that. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I am prepared to drink it. But in Isaiah 53, it says, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every man to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And it says that God made his soul an offering for sin. And those were the contents of that cup. And it says in John 18, Jesus, knowing all things that were coming upon him, went forth to meet his enemies and said, whom seek ye? Because he had set his face as a flint to do the will of the Father, and nothing could turn him back from doing that will. Understand this Easter morning, that the Lord Jesus Christ has prayed unto blood. The Lord Jesus Christ has suffered unto blood on the cross for you, that you might be delivered from hell. There is a cup that God has in his hand still. And the Lord Jesus Christ has, having drunk his cup, he drank that cup that you might not have to drink the cup that remains in God's hand. But there is a cup in the hand of God for the wicked and all of those who will not accept that Christ bore your sins in his own body on the tree, will not have him, will not confess his name, will not bow the knee to Christ. For all of you who reject him, the Father says, if you will not have the cup of blessing, then you must drink this cup of cursing. And understand this, you would do all in your power to avoid drinking that cup, but there is nothing that can prevent your drinking it. The Lord Jesus Christ, because of his love and devotion to his Father, and this is what it says, he says, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life for the sheep. Therefore, the Lord Jesus Christ drank that cup because of his love for you. But if you reject the Lord Jesus, there is nothing that God can discern to keep you from drinking of the wrath that is contained in that other cup. Christ has drunk the cup that we might drink a cup of blessing, and it is yours by faith. He set his face as a flint. He did the whole will of God. And God's will is that not one man should perish, but that all should believe and be saved. And so by God's grace, this Lord's Day morning, believe and let that cup of cursing that was Christ's for you be turned into a cup of blessing. Time is gone. Let us pray. Now, Father, thy Son hath said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. We are thankful that he laid down his life for us. But we are thankful also, our God, that the Lord Jesus said, that the world may know that I love the Father. He laid down his life also. We are thankful for his devotion to you. And our God, we are thankful for his devotion to us. Let not this divine and human devotion go to waste. Speak to souls, save souls this day, and may we become new creatures in Christ Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.